I love to think, don't you, of everybody all over the world who knows Jesus gathering together today to worship. It's not just here in this room, but all over the world and every nation under the sun. There are great things happening all through the Middle East, Iran. If you hear about what God is doing and what God is doing in our nation, people are hungry to find truth. It's only found in one person. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way to God. I'm the truth and the life. And quite honestly, there is a hunger that God is awakening in this generation. And it's vital that we understand what God is doing, both here and all over this nation. People are coming to Christ. They're coming to faith in Jesus, real faith. Not a religious faith that gets them into just going to church, but a real relationship with God through faith in Jesus. So we're really excited to be alive today, aren't we? Yes. And to be partnering with him in what he wants to do in our world. And if you're visiting here today, I'm just glad you came today, because I believe you're going to see the real. You already have real worship. People who are, you know, it's not a football match. We're not worshiping a football. I mean, imagine that, giving your life to a football. We give our lives to a person who's Son of God, Jesus Christ, and we are extravagant in our worship, as football supporters are extravagant. But we love to give him our best. So we pray for you, if you're visiting today, that you'll really have a unique encounter with a God who loved you so much. Can I say that again? He loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you, so that you could be forgiven sins and that you could have a relationship through faith in Jesus alone. Wonderful news. The best news in the world. Yes. There's no better news about a better person. His name is Jesus. And we also, I just wanted to start by saying, I know there is an expectation both here in your hearts, I believe, for today. But today is traditionally a Sunday that we remember when the Spirit came at Pentecost. Pastor Andrea started with that. As I'm going to do a little bit of, just to give you a kind of understanding of what's going to happen this morning, a bit different than normal Sundays, because we're going to make space, more space at the end, to receive from the Lord. So first of all, I'm going to try and speed up the teaching. So if you could fasten your seatbelts. We're about to move fast through the scriptures, because without understanding the word, you won't understand what God wants to do. There's no point just praying. Faith comes from hearing, but also understanding comes from hearing God's word. So really listen in, lean in to what the scripture says, and allow the Holy Spirit and the truth to kind of get you ready for what God wants to do with you, not just everybody else, with you in the last 20 minutes of this meeting. Okay, so we're going to have at least 20 minutes just with you and him and us together. So that's how this morning's going to go. So straight into really the theme of this Sunday, and actually one of the major themes of the New Testament through the teaching of Jesus and the book of Acts and everything after that, is receiving the Holy Spirit. And I want to teach on receiving the Holy Spirit with Bible truth first, because many people believe you only need to receive Jesus and be born again. And there are a lot of denominations that actually deny the teaching of Jesus. I'm going to show you clearly from the teaching of Jesus that once you are saved and become a child of God through faith, there is another receiving from God. So I'm going to go through the scriptures quickly, so that if anybody has been taught, and may I say falsely, with all humility I say it, but I base my teaching on the word of God, that you will change, that it will demolish the false in you so that you can accept the truth that will actually set you free. In the New Testament, in the records of Scripture, there are two different occasions, or we could say days, when the disciples, the followers, the believers in Jesus, received the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the first day, and then we're going to look at the second, and then we're going to look at today. Is that okay? So day one, we're going to look at day one after Jesus had resurrected in John chapter 20. Jesus had died for the sins of the world, and he had risen again. And in the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst. I love to think of him here, because he is. He came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Shalom, peace to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. It was proof that this was Jesus who had died and had risen again, that he was resurrected. This is before he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And I think this is probably one of the biggest understatements you could read. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Because every time you see him, you are. How many of you know the presence of the Lord isn't misery? Does anybody know that scripture? Would do you good to know it. In his presence is fullness of joy. So the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I mean, they'd seen him crucified. They knew where he was buried. And they saw him alive, resurrected. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So the disciples had this personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And nobody can become a Christian until you know that he is alive. That he once died, was buried, but now he is risen again. And when Jesus met them, he didn't say, "Here I am." He wanted to say, "I want you to receive God, the Holy Spirit." Now, if you haven't heard the teaching from last week, it is vital you hear last week to make sense of this week. But Jesus, he breathed and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that Hebrew tense, or the Greek tense there, is that as he spoke, the Spirit entered them. Now, the disciples, being Jews, and us, some of us in this room, know the scriptures, know that when God made mankind, male and female, he created them. He made them out of dust. And they only lived when the breath of God came into their nostrils. And he breathed his life, and man became a living being. Amen. And so, in the first creation of man, which was Adam and Eve, man lived because of the breath of God. This is the new creation in Christ Jesus. That when you believe, you are born of God. And what was lost through sin and the fall is recovered because of Jesus and his breath on the inside of you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you. And you live because of the life of God himself. The Zoe life, the indefeatable life, the indestructible, victorious, everlasting life of God. That should make you smile. just a little bit, because you have a new life and it's God's life on the inside of you. Wonderful. What a wonderful day to be saved. What a wonderful day to know that you're alive to God through faith in Jesus Christ. So this was the first day when the disciples received the Holy Spirit. So that's number one. That's the first time. But Jesus said, there is more. Am I preaching to any believers here? There is more. There is more than just having the Spirit within. And I'm not here to tell you according to kingdom faith. I'm here to tell you according to Jesus. What Jesus says builds the church. It's not a denomination. It's not a style of a Christianity. Jesus has one way and one truth for the whole church. First of all, you must be born again, or you can't receive the Holy Spirit. But that comes through faith, simple faith, that Jesus died for you and he rose again. Now we're going to look at the second day. Luke chapter 24. Second day, day two. It was probably 50 days after when the Spirit came, but just before that, before Jesus left his disciples and ascended to heaven, Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Wait until you have received power from on high. So Jesus said, there is more. Now, the first time the disciples received the Spirit, they never made an impact on Jerusalem, let alone the world. Peter actually went fishing, consumed by the things of life. It was only until the Spirit came upon him and all of them did they make some kind of impact. In fact, they were known, oh, Lord, do it again, for those who turn the world upside down. I want us to be known. I want to be known as someone who turns the world upside down through faith, through what the Holy Spirit does upon my life and through my life. So he said, I don't want you to rush off and get on with my kingdom purpose. You need power for my purpose. And I have a promise for that. All the P's, there's power and purpose with the promise. And the promise is the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You remember the first time Jesus breathed and he entered in them? This time the Spirit was going to come upon. And we're going to read that occasion, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they, you know, these guys, they were glad they'd seen the Lord. He told them to wait. And they spent their time expecting the Spirit to come, not knowing everything. But they met together daily, and they met together in this upper room. Actually, we are in one. I love to think of that. This is an upper room for the glory of God, where his disciples are going to meet with him and worship him and hear from him and be sent out by him. So they were meeting together, praying, seeking God, knowing what they were seeking him for. He will come. One goal. They all had one goal. Do you have one goal this morning? Lord, come. Lord, come. That's my goal for this morning. Your goals are my goals. So they were there waiting, and it says there, they were all in one accord, all in agreement. Oh, may the Lord bring our hearts together in this house today, that we will all be of one accord, that we're together in heart and mind. Yes, Lord. Yes. It's wonderful, isn't it? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And it says, then there appeared on them in divided tongues as a fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were, let's say this together, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when it speaks of the Spirit coming upon or them being baptized, you heard this phrase, baptism in the Holy Spirit. We understand baptism in water because it's like a plunge pool. You get fully immersed in water or in a river. So you go under and you are totally immersed. Baptism in the Spirit actually means both plunge pool and like Niagara Falls coming on you. So from outside upon, not from within. So to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, he came upon them. And if you think about standing under the Niagara, I think you might be changed. Not a fuzzy feeling. He came upon them. And then the next thing that happened is that they were all filled. So from outside, upon, filled, it's a bit like in the days of Noah when the flood came. The foundations of the earth broke up, water came up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain came down. The baptism of the Spirit is both. He came upon them. They were all filled. And there was an outflow. So they didn't just go, You can if you want. But that's not what they did. That's not the biblical evidence of being filled. The biblical evidence of being filled is speaking in tongues. Sometimes, as the book of Acts, the story goes on and more people are saved and baptized in the Spirit. Sometimes they prophesy as well at the same time. But always, always in the New Testament, there is an outflow and evidence of speaking with other tongues. So the baptism of the Spirit is that the Spirit comes upon you, you get filled, so that you speak out with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Are we learning this morning? The biblical truth about what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, God will never force you, but I don't see why you wouldn't want to. And tongues, you know, the arrogance of man says, I don't need. God says you do. I sound silly. God says it's my language. You're speaking to me in other tongues as the Spirit gives them. The thing is, they all had to open their mouths to speak, as you already know that. If you're going to speak to anybody, you need to open your mouth and give voice to what you want to say. But this is giving voice to what God wants to say. When you speak, you're giving voice to what you want. When you're speaking in tongues, you're giving voice. It's wonderful. Wonderful Jesus. Now, they had to wait 10 days. But scripturally, there is no other occasion in the New Testament where they had to wait. Because he's already been poured out. Anyone who asks receives. The condition you ask in is the issue. not whether he wants to. And he wants to today. So in other words, you don't have to wait 10 days. Today is your day, if you're not, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So there's no need to wait. It's all to do with your own desire and your own condition, which we're going to look at how to receive. All 120, and I love to think of this 120 crowd. Don't know if you've ever thought about it. Well, there were business people, educators. There were mums and dads, and there were singles, and there were all kinds of elderly, I'm sure, people there. They just loved Jesus and were waiting for what he said, that they needed power to do his will. You see, every believer then, as every believer now, needs power to turn the world upside down. You can't do it just because you want to. You have to do it because he's empowering you to. And Jesus, you see, he was our great example in that he never, ever did anything without the Holy Spirit doing it through him. All the works of power happened because he was yielded to his Father and dependent on another, God the Holy Spirit. And at that point, they left that upper room and they began to change the world. And I love to think of that day being the kind of the source of the move of every move of God since. I've been watching a program about the Danube, how it starts in the Black Forest in Germany. And Joanna Lumley has been doing this series about the Danube. And I just flicked onto it. It's fun. I liked it. You may not like it. I like it. I think she's hilarious. So anyway, the source of the water comes from the rain, but also from within the mountain, because the mountain is soaked the rain, doesn't it? And there's this tiny little waterhead that says this is the source of the Danube. Now that source flows through 10 major cities throughout Europe. It's Europe's biggest river. And I think about that day in the upper room, something that seemed so small has affected every generation, every nation since, because God himself put power on those first disciples and they were willing to say, Lord, spill us out into the world. I want to be a world changer for Jesus, but do it because your Spirit's upon me. Wonderful. What a wonderful day. That there's more than having the Spirit just within, but the Spirit coming upon with power to change the world and to reach the world for Jesus. Wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever you do, you are called to advance the kingdom. More than being what you are in terms of teacher, business person, a mum, a dad, more than it all, you're called to advance the kingdom. That is your purpose on earth. And you need power for it. Everyone is called to advance the kingdom. And we need his power. And we need something fresh in God. As pastors, we've been praying for 6 weeks about this day because we realize how much, as a church, we need the Holy Spirit. You need, can I address you personally? You, and can I address me? Me. Because without him, we can't. But with him, all things are possible. when the church was growing, and it was just so many demands on the apostles, those God calls and anoints different people, set apart to different anointings come on those who are called to lead the church, different to the believer's anointing. And those leaders, they were like, we can't get involved. We've got to be devoted to the word and prayer. That's our call. And they said, choose people to serve on tables. And they said, choose men. And I love it. I love it that they didn't say, choose the ladies. It's not that the ladies shouldn't serve, but the boys should too. The boys should too. All of us should serve. And they chose seven men. And I want you to hear the qualification. Full of the Spirit. Yes. Full of the Holy Spirit. To wait on tables. Like a canteen. Serving food. They had to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, which means the Word. Full of the Spirit and the Word. And you know, there was a man called Smith Wigglesworth who did great and mighty things. But he had a prophecy. And he said something about this move of God that is beginning in our country. And it's beginning amongst us, if you have eyes to see. He said it's when the word people and the spirit people become one people. That is when the greatest work of harvest comes and the greatest move of God happens. So to say you're a word person isn't enough. And it's not enough to say you're a spirit person either. We have to be both. All in the same person, devoted to the word, full of the Holy Spirit. And you know, this is what I love, the vision that God has for the Spirit in your life and mine, is that when we're doing ordinary things as they waited on tables, extraordinary things happened. Miracles happened as they served. Because they were full. Not half. Not a little. Not full of themselves and their own agendas. Full of God. See, God has only one standard for all of us, and that's full. Full of Him. And they did daily repeat. You know, it's the repeat that gets boring, but the Spirit's never boring. So you can serve food every day in a canteen and not be bored because there are miracles. God's using you to do things in people's lives. Your job shouldn't be boring if you're full of the Spirit. The same old should be same old plus power. Catch a vision of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That meant they were continually full. They didn't just get one baptism of the Spirit. They carried on filling up. There's some law that I think we forget as Christians. It's the same law as driving your car. If your car uses fuel, it goes down the petrol gauge. Or uses electric power, it diminishes. But then you know what you have to do. There is one place that you go to, don't you? Either a plug or a petrol station. And what happens there? You fill on up again, don't you? So to be baptized in the Spirit is one thing, but another thing is to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians tells us to do this. In Ephesians 5, the scriptures say this. And let me tell you, this isn't a suggestion, it's a command. Don't be drunk with wine. I always find that amusing that he puts that in there. Because I think we can all get a picture of someone who's drunk with wine. And he says, don't be. But what happens is you're coming under the influence of something, aren't you? What happens when you get drunk? Some people get, oh, I could sing a love song. Other people get depressed and angry. It changes their mood. Nobody ever experienced anybody who drank too much? it's far too holy. Before I was saved, let me tell you, I know what it meant. And my walk was a bit different. My brother used to say, he was a copper, and he says, you know, you get people trying to walk in a straight line, and they're doing this, they're going to follow the line. And you see, being filled with the Spirit changes your walk. It changes your influence. What influence do you come under? You come under the influence of God. Your speech changes. Of course we're not to get drunk. It's not good, because that's an addiction to the wrong things. But I think it's a good picture to tell us, actually, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to come under the complete influence of Him. Who is good, who is love, but He's also power, and He wants to change you. To say different things, to act differently, to be like Jesus. Everything the Spirit does is to glorify Jesus. It's actually to put all the spotlight on Jesus. So don't be drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spirit. When you're full of the Spirit, you sing. Easy. When you're full of the Spirit, I'm going to go to faith people over here. What happens when you're full? You sing. And actually, the more you sing, the more you get full. It's amazing what happens, making melody. How I love you, Jesus, washing up. How I love you, Lord, driving the car. How I love you, Jesus, changing the nappy. Because you first loved me. If there isn't a song of the Lord, you're not full. If you stop singing. You see, we crowd our lives with other voices and other songs. And, you know, what goes in comes out. So what you're listening to will come out. And that's why worship songs really help. It helps me to stay full. Playing a worship playlist in my car, it really helps me to stay full, conscious of God. I'm so grateful, aren't you, for all the worship ministries across the world where we can just tap in to the worship, the spirit of worship in our homes. Our children growing up with a song of the Lord, not with the latest X Factor, but with Kingdom Factor. And we will see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. But we have to put into practice the things that fill us and go on being filled. And then it says giving thanks to the Father for all things. You see, a complaining people, it's like a car that's got a leak in fuel. If you complain, all the fuel is like got a hole in your fuel pipe. It gets leaked. You get empty, critical, nasty. You get nasty to be with. Being filled with God, you get lovely. Filled with the Spirit, you are gracious, kind, generous, thankful. Some of us, you know, our relationships will change when we start to give thanks. You'll love the church when you thank God for the people. Isn't that amazing how a critical spirit actually opposes God, but it actually stops you from being filled with God? So we now know the wisdom of staying full is speaking, singing, praising Him, giving thanks in all things in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So first day, second day, ongoing. It's two different experiences. Born again by the Spirit breathing His life within. the Spirit coming upon us from outside, that we get so filled with God, we speak with new tongues, and to go on being filled. Now, I know which category I'm in. I have received the Holy Spirit with power, and I have spoken in other tongues. If that's you, you don't need that kind of initial outpouring, but you do need to be filled. I know what category I'm in. I want filling. Does anybody want filling? If you've been baptized in the Spirit, you'll want to be filled. If you haven't, wonderful day to come to church, because this is the day for you where the Spirit is going to come upon you and he's going to fill you. And as you open your mouth, you will speak with other tongues. Praise God, I'm hammering along nicely. But all for the purpose of understanding what God wants to do in you today. Final scripture, and then we're going to go into a time of receiving. John chapter 7. How are you doing? John chapter 7. On the last, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood. I wonder what that would have sounded like. Cried out. I believe he's crying out in churches all up and down this nation. Yes. In his church, in his temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And what's he speaking of? He's speaking concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him, that's the condition, would receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the day of Pentecost meant that Jesus had been glorified and he was able to send the Spirit to us. Now, the qualification for receiving is being thirsty. One qualification that Jesus defines as the people he will give drinks to this morning are thirsty people. So you might feel inadequate. You might feel this morning you don't know very much. Whatever you're feeling, Jesus says there's one thing that you need. Come to me with thirst. And actually, currently, I'm very thirsty. For real. And being thirsty, praise God, there's water here. Available. So Jesus has the Spirit available. Within reach. I don't have to leave the room. I don't even have to have the music making me feel like he's available. He is. By the way, there wasn't a worship team at that point that got everybody in the mood. Because if you get in faith, you'll drink. Yes. Nobody can force you to, so you don't have to. If you don't want to. And you know, the Lord, if you know anything about him, he never forces anyone. He doesn't force anybody to follow, give up their life to follow him. He doesn't force anybody to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow. And he's not forcing you to be baptized in the Spirit or filled today. So you don't have to. And please, in all my zeal, don't see it as pressure. Because if you don't want to, you don't have to. But whoever is thirsty, you see, Jesus spoke to lots of different people in that temple. He gave them the option. If anyone is current, now, not tomorrow, thirsty, let him come to me. Now, it's such a key, because the person who is the baptizer in the Spirit is one person alone, and his name is Jesus. He alone gives the Spirit. Now, God uses channels, leaders. When we lay hands on people, they can be baptized in the Spirit, but Jesus alone is the one to come to, not to the person praying. Because if you get that wrong, you think it's somebody, or you think it's the music, or you think it's something else, then you'll miss the drink, because the drink is with him. The scripture says, with him is the fountain of life. He's got the life. And nobody drinks with their mouth shut. Do they, Henry? He's just had a good slug of that. And let me tell you, I tell you what I like about that, Henry, that bottle, because you lift it up for us. It's massive. And Jesus is there. You can have a sip, or you can have a massive infilling of the Spirit. And let me tell you, both work, but of course, there's going to be a different result. And I think of this, when you say, come and drink, drink till you're full. Don't just go, that's it, I've had the Spirit. Now, what's on the agenda? What's for lunch? We're going to stay with him for 20 minutes. You and God. Drinking. Coming to him and drinking. Because the promise is what you receive is going to flow out. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Now, the thing is, because God knows you and me, he knows we need the Spirit more than we do. But he responds to a little bit of thirst. And the more you drink, the more thirsty you become. The more you want him, the more you will want him. And I believe that in this place, that if you're thirsty, you can leave full. And you can be a world changer because of it. Rivers will flow out of you. The kingdom program that God has for your life, instead of making no impact, it's suddenly going to start. You'll start to see things happening because you're so full of God. So, beloved, the prerequisite is being thirsty. And, of course, receiving Jesus. You can't drink of the Spirit without Jesus. The gift of tongues, if you've never spoken in tongues, well, be baptized in the Spirit. Let the Spirit come upon you by asking. Jesus said, ask the Father, how much more does he want to give the Holy Spirit? Ask thirsty and expectant that today is your day to be filled. And today is your day to speak, not remain silent, but speak with other tongues. Now, of course, the world mocks, people mock people who speak in tongues. I'm happy that they do. Ain't changing me, because I'm going for the full, not partial, release of power. People will always laugh at the church. They mocked Jesus. And we're not doing this like some crazed, frenzied bunch, but we're passionate for Jesus. And we're not embarrassed about the gift of tongues here. Before anything, would you mind standing for a few minutes just to kind of...
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.